Hallo. Hallo. So, Cosmos. Just a little bit of brainstorming here about the mind and the section there, thinking, feeling, willing, which. Well, I didn't even know how to make out of it, and thinking, feeling, and willing are often said to be the Or you could put it like this: in the Indian Vedic knowledge, thinking, feeling, and willing are said to be the activities of the mind, manasa. And well, that's pretty much what we do, don't we? We think sometimes, we feel things, not only our senses, but lots there within, maybe even mostly there within. Feel happy, sad, angry, confused, sure. Convinced, lusty, peaceful. And so on. A large part of what makes us alive is about feelings, isn't it? Now, don't even ask the materialistic scientists or brain researchers how. Feelings, such feelings, inner feelings, could appear or be created from electricity in brain cells. Nervous systems, and when you think about it, our thinking. It's an inner voice. creative words in there somewhere. Or images. I have friends who think in images rather than in words. Although I can hardly understand how you can do that. But if I say sun, you think of the sun. Round shining disk there, and you can't avoid it. And the more you try to stop thinking about the sun, the more you'll think about the sun. So we are also suggestive beings whose minds can be affected from the outside and are continuously being so by those who are learned in the art of molding minds. But yes, we definitely, and I don't think you disagree with me, have words and images flying around in there when we close our eyes, and of course with open eyes too. So we could analyze, speculate, try and understand the mind. But the best, most scientific, I would say, way to scientifically study the mind is this way, just by experiencing our own mind and what's going on in there. And as we just mentioned, this is how psychology started. Studying the mind. And it's still going on among many psychologists and mind researchers. because after all, it makes more sense, doesn't it, to study the mind from within the mind itself rather than in the roundabout way of trying to study it. With the physical senses that can only perceive what's going on in that world, that realm. As we do, simply study the mind the way it appears to us, it gets more and more clear and evident that as we just started looking at the mind, far from being non-existing or some ephemeral effect of electricity in the brain, plays a very prominent role. In our lives, and thus in our cosmos. You just have to sit down and pen and paper and list everything that you find there inside your own mind. We mentioned some things already, but you make your own list and look at it. I think you will agree with me that what's on that list is basically your entire existence. Now, part of that existence which we then here call the cosmos, the living cosmos, the consciousness-based cosmos, the idealist. Point of view on the cosmos. Includes just about everything. Or maybe I said that. But and the what we call the physical realm actually the realm of the senses is but part of that cosmos. And the more you look into it, as we have done here for the past few chapters, seeing how that physical world, which we have been taught, again by the physicalist, is the only reality, seems more and more virtual, dreamy, moves over more and more to be an image in the mind. And whatever we think is its objective existence . That's what matters most to us, all of us. Because again, when we speak about the cosmos, quote unquote, what is it? What are we talking about? We're talking about this world that we experience. Of course we know, and even the science of physics knows that there is a lot that we can't experience, but which still exists. They talk about dark matter and all of that. But there's also another realm which does exist, but which we don't experience right now. And I believe that now it is time to enter that realm.